Welcome to Black Picket Fence. Your hosts are DeAndre Benson and Alicia Baptiste. This place is created for Black people living or working in majority white spaces, and for those who struggle with Black identity because they don't fit the stereotypical ideas of what it means to be Black. You'll hear stories of people like you. You'll learn strategies for developing a strong Black identity in yourself and in your children. We'll discover how to thrive in Black picket fence environments without losing ourselves. And hopefully, you'll feel less alone on your journey. This place was created for you. You belong here. Welcome to Black Picket Fence. Hi. Welcome
Hello.
To Black Picket Fence. This is Alicia Baptiste and...
I'm DeAndre Benson.
We are so happy to have our first episode, and we just like to introduce ourselves to you, to our audience, and give you an idea of what, you know, why we started this podcast, and kind of give you an idea of what you can expect from the podcast. So we really want to kind of just start off just with a little bit of fun. And because I know that you all want to know this, what's your favorite ice cream? Tell our audience your favorite ice cream flavor.
So my favorite ice cream is probably chocolate chip cookie dough. What about you?
Well, you got to tell me why. Why you like chocolate chip cookie dough?
Because... Well, I don't know. It's just like you get the best of both worlds is ice cream. Plus it's like eating the cookie dough from the bowl, licking the batter from the bowl. So what's not to dislike from that? Minus salmonella poisoning. So
see, you can learn a lot about people based on their ice cream choices. Because my favorite is vanilla.
Why?
Yes, vanilla. Now, I
will
say.
All the things in the world.
I love vanilla, but I do like adding nuts to my vanilla.
Okay.
I like adding nuts to it. You know, maybe some little chocolate chips, you know, something in there. Give it a little flavor, a little crunch to it. But yeah, I'm a vanilla girl.
No. Oh,
I like adding like waffle cones, you know, stuff like that. I like adding stuff to it, but vanilla is I'm an all day girl, old fashioned vanilla.
But like crunchy toppings seem to be the thing.
I do. I love nuts.
So texture.
So I'm always, yes, I like having nuts. I add nuts to lots of things. I eat lots of nuts. I'm a little nutty. See?
Yes.
Learn a lot about people.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Did you disagree with me being nutty? All right. Maybe we're letting our audience.
But
our audience knows too much about us already. Let's tell our audience a little bit more about ourselves. DeAndre, would you like to introduce yourself beyond your favorite ice cream flavor?
Yes. Well, hello, everyone. I am DeAndre Benson. I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor and a PsyD candidate. I'm all but dissertation. So I like to approach my clinical work from a contextual perspective, integrating interpersonal and cognitive factors. So I like looking at relationships and connection. So I am interested in racial ethnic identity development, adolescence, suicidal ideation, and trauma. So this informs the work that I do, whether it's the populations who I choose to work with or projects I undertake. Currently, I'm collecting data for my dissertation study, Black American Adolescent Suicidal Ideation, Belongingness, and the Role of Interpersonal Factors.
So, DeAndre, would you tell our audience, how did you, how did you become interested in your dissertation topic?
So, I first became interested in this topic working for a mobile crisis team. We assumed a lot of what works for adults works for children, and also what works for majority populations works for minorities, even though what we see in the stats does not pan out in the literature. So a lot of times, the rates of suicide for white youth are going down while the rates of suicide for Black youth are going up. And to date, there are no specific interventions for suicide for Black youth. And so, we need to address that. We have quite a few limitations in creating interventions for Black people, people of color. And so we need to have a voice in that.
That is really important work. I thank you so much, DeAndre, for bringing this to the forefront. And I'm really excited to have you a part of this podcast team. Well, we're going to learn a little bit more about DeAndre in a few minutes, but I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm, again, Alicia Baptiste, and I am not a professional psychologist, but I'm a professional mother. I'm a mother of four children, ages 25 to 17. And I grew up in a really, really small rural town in Louisiana. I was very connected to the Black community there. My parents both came from very large families. My dad is one of 16 children. My mom is one of six children. So I was just surrounded by just not just Blackness, but just lots of family, lots of family. And at the same time, my experience at school was very different from my home life. I was the kid who was usually in the gifted and AP classes, those advanced classes. And so I was usually the only Black in my classes or one of maybe two Blacks in my classes. So I got used to living in two worlds, which was very Black, very family oriented at home and at church, and then at school being in a predominantly white environment. Fast forward, I ended up going to school at an HBCU, went to Grambling State University, met my husband there. We married 2 days before we graduated from college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's a whole story right there, girl. And then we moved to Texas. I ended up going to school. I went to another HBCU for a very short time, went to Prairie View A&M, and then later transferred to UT to work on my graduate degree. And during the time we were there, we were pregnant with our first child. And basically, after I graduated, I decided to stay in Austin. We really liked the area. And so we started raising our family here. Family started to grow from one kid all the way, of course, to four. And we ended up moving to the suburbs of Austin. And in an area where we were one of a handful of Black families here. And then we ended up in the course of our parenting, we started attending a majority white church as well. And to be honest, I really thought that my kids really wouldn't even know that they missed anything because this was all they knew. How could they know? I mean, I knew what I was missing because I knew what it was like to grow up in a you know, such a majority Black environment. But my kids did not. And so I figured they would be totally fine because this was all they knew. But as they began to get older, they began to express feelings of otherness, basically, is kind of, and it came out in different ways when they were young. It came out in ways in comments like, "Mommy, I'm fat." And I'm like, "Girlfriend, you, there is, no, you're not fat." Or, "Mommy, I wish my hair was straight like my friend Becky." You know, I'm using Becky, you know, in quotes. I don't remember the name. Or just them being in class, I mean, in their Sunday school class and not having any friends. But as they got older, it was things like them being frustrated about the kind of music, things people said to them that were hurtful. And a lot of it were things that, honestly, I didn't find out until years later that happened to them, because they just didn't tell me during at the time. And so, you know, I'm basically, you know, I'm coming to you from the point of view of a parent who moved from a majority Black or just a deeply, you know, Black experience growing up, but then moving to a Black picket fence environment and not really understanding what that would be like for me or for our children. So I guess that kind of goes into like why we decided to start this podcast. I'll just say that really during 2020, after the George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and all of those deaths occurred and the racial unrest, we had so many conversations with our children, and they began to share stories of things that happened to them. Some of them years ago, some of them recent. Both of my daughters were processing things that quote unquote friends were saying to them that were, I mean, just super problematic, hurtful, and racist, to be quite honest. And as they began to share some of their stories, I felt grieved in my heart as a mom that I had put my kids in that kind of environment. And I can't go back and undo it. And so I just began to have this great desire of like, I don't want other parents to be as clueless as I was. And I want to be able to equip parents and families, at least, you know, give them the things that I didn't have, give them the knowledge and understanding that I didn't have so that they can do it better than I did. I certainly now know I didn't do everything wrong. My husband and I, we didn't do everything wrong. There were some things we did really, really well. And I want to share those things. And there were some things that we were kind of clueless about that I definitely wish we had done better. And I want to learn from other people that can help us to, you know, do better. So that's really was the motivation behind wanting to start this podcast. And I put it out there on social media and asked and told people what I was thinking about. And DeAndra responded. And DeAndra, would you share, why did you decide to join this podcast team?
Yes. Well, you know, I was excited when I saw your post online about trying to share this wealth of knowledge with families, with other people struggling with this. I think we take for granted that African Americans have to struggle with having a bicultural identity. We have to struggle with our double consciousness or sense of selves and multiple arenas based on where we are. And so, you know, my interest in this is twofold. It is, you know, I grew up being raised in a Black picket fence environment, more or less, you know, being the raised as part of the Black family in a predominantly white suburban environment, navigating schools of different sorts, homeschool, parochial schools, private schools, and majority white public schools, K through 12 and on through graduate schools. And so, you know, advocacy and self is a really big thing that I've learned through trial and error in the process. I guess it's twofold. You hear a lot of in graduate school that a lot of research is actually me-search and meant to talk about the pieces of work that relates to the personal. And so, you know, I'm interested in helping to equip people with some of the pieces of knowledge that, you know, I think are important and carrying through and trying to amplify voices and supporting people through the way and, you know, having people, you know, sometimes it's helpful to know you're not the only one, you are not alone in this process. Yeah. And that is what this is meant to do.
Well, like I said before, I'm really grateful for you being a part of this team. You're definitely adding some valuable expertise and content that I think our listeners are really, really going to benefit from. With that being said, would you share a little bit, kind of give our listeners a little teaser, you know, what can they expect in this season?
So some of our episodes, there's more than one way to be Black, looking at Black racial identity development, looking at advocacy in schools and higher education, K-12, boomers to alphas, looking at generational experiences about race. How do we deal with the talk? Talking about mental health and race-based trauma, how are we coping? And, you know, the more we know, the more you know, how do we deal with Black history? How do we pass this down and make sure that we have a sense of self and carry that along?
And so some of the other episodes that we're going to have, we're going to have stories. We will have an episode with my children. I will interview them and they'll have an opportunity to share their experience, their Black picket fence experiences. We will interview some guests and allow them to just kind of share their experiences as well. Some of those families will be families who chose to homeschool, and some of those families, you know, will have chosen some other educational routes. We will talk about how to use traditions, music, stories, and rituals to connect children to their Black identity. And we'll talk about how to support Black mothers in this Black picket fence environment. So those are some of the things that we are planning for this season. And I hope that you are as excited as we are. But before we leave you, we got to talk a little bit about HBCUs. So I attended Grambling State University. And DeAndre, you attended
Spelman College, number one HBCU.
Oh, she's already bringing it. I see. I was just trying to come, you know, just calm and just you know, light and everything. But you know what? HBCUs are so amazing. I think all of them have their own unique characteristics. And I just want you to plug Spelman, and then, you know, then I'll just kind of end and I'll go ahead and get a little GS. You, I thought you knew. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come in like that. Plug Spelman. Tell me something that you really love and appreciate about Spelman.
Well, first off, rooting for every HBCU because, you know, it is one of those things where HBCUs prepare you for the real world, despite what everybody tells you, what anyone will tell you. You know, it's one of those things where you are nurtured those 4 years. You might as well be in a place where you are in taught by people who do care about you, who do teach you your history, and you will make lifelong friends. And, you know, it is a special place where you will never see anything like that. One particular thing about Spelman, you know, I really value Spelman for its history. Not only is it a historically Black college, but it is a women's college. And so you have the intersections of Black history, but also taught with a feminist lens, a womanist lens. And so, you know, I think that is very, very important for Black women to have. Every single class has that. From Spelman, you know, I do have lifelong friends who I cherish, and that is one experience that I would not trade.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. I will say, you know, some of the things that I really love about Grambling and my experience, that, well, let me just tell you the number one reason, the best part about going to Grambling, I met my husband there. I met my husband there, but also, really, it's my parents both went to Grambling. My dad graduated from Grambling. My husband's, both of his parents graduated from there. He has a brother that graduated from there. I have a younger sister that graduated from there. And so it's kind of like family legacy. So that part of it is pretty fun and cool.
Oh, wow.
What else?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Another thing I think I love about being at Grambling, and I think this is true of any HBCU, is it is really cool to be in an environment where you see so many different types of Black people. You know,
yes.
The stereotypes kind of go out of the window because you've got the different fraternities, and each fraternity, you know, and sorority has its own unique stereotypes, or, you know, a certain type of person joins this type and this. So you see all these different types of people. Then you have the people who are quote unquote nerdy, you know, and being that I'm a nerd, I'm just going to go ahead and admit it. I loved being around smart Black people, especially given the fact that when I was in high school, I wasn't around a lot of Blacks in my classes that were smart, or at least identified themselves as smart. I think there were a lot more than would admit it. But it was really neat to be around Black people who were smart, who loved to learn, who didn't mind, you know, identifying that way. So those are some fun things. Of course, you know, we love with HBCUs, and, you know, I subscribe on Instagram to HBCU Buzz, so I can get my little fix on seeing the dancers and the bands breaking down. I mean, man, that was so fun. When I was growing up.
So
even, I'm a little bit older than you, so it's been quite a while.
My parents are Tuskegee grads, my grandparents, Alabama State. So the classic seasons are definitely fierce times in the house.
All right.
You know, more Tuskegee classics and Turkey Day classics. And, you know, we're definitely fun times. And, you know, it's one of those things where I know coming from a predominantly white high school, I was definitely needing that experience of being at Spelman. I was told you won't necessarily always meet your husband, although we had Morehouse next door. We were fine. Plenty of them. But you will meet your bridesmaids at Spelman.
And okay.
That was
it's funny. Time. We have, you know, I mean, you're probably familiar with the Bayou Classic.
Yes.
So even to this day, I think it's that Saturday after Thanksgiving, one of my husband's friends, like he calls him, he went to Southern. And so it's a battle all through the game. They're just like talking trash to one another, calling one another, hey, did you see that touchdown? Did you see that?
Yep.
So, it was a great experience, but we really just wanted to introduce ourselves, kind of see, you know, who you're going to be interacting with through this season, and just say hi to you guys. So we are looking forward to the season. That's all we have for you. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.